So what this means is that we can't learn without an experience. Or to be more direct, we can't experience without experience. Now, it's advantageous to ego for us to believe that we can learn. We can know without having an experience. And this is supported by the childhood trauma that most of us experienced when we were expected by adults to extrapolate and apply teachings from one situation to another. But the fact remains, we cannot learn without experience. We can have an intellectual understanding, but that's not learning. Intellectual understandings feed ideas like, you should have known better. But the truth is that we don't know until we have our own experience. So when we look back over the mistakes in our lives, what we can realize is that we didn't know it was a, in quotes, mistake until we did it. Again, those ego voices will argue, maybe they're arguing right now, that you did know it was a mistake. You knew you shouldn't have had that affair, shouldn't have stolen those things, shouldn't have lied about that. But what we have here is the difference between lowercase knowing and uppercase knowing. We lowercase know a lot of theories, but the only thing that matters to us is experiential. So, after I have that affair and it's a nightmare, or I lie and I get caught, or I steal and I have to pay the consequences, I'm much closer to uppercase knowing. If we accept the premise that what we're doing here is awakening and ending suffering, then it behooves us to go along with the notion that the only way to wake up is to see and see through what keeps us asleep. In practice, we call that learning. Ego calls it mistakes. In 2013, we let go feeling bad so that we can be present for the information life is giving us about what's happening to us and for us at any given time. In that, we shift our whole focus away from conditioned, karmic, egocentric, usually hateful information in the head, and we move attention to the intuitive sensing that life guides us with every moment. And that's stated that way for a very specific reason. It's not that life once in a while guides us. Once in a while, there's an insight. Once in a while, we have a moment of clarity. No. That's happening always. Clarity, wisdom, love, compassion are always here. It's that we are usually not here, and that's how we miss it. And of course, very often when we do see it, we get talked out of it. No, you can't trust that. That won't work. No. No. And that's what we're trained to go with. Ego lives in memory. At some point in your leisure, spend some time watching your thinking process and see that all thoughts are based in memory. Even a thought about the future, we have to keep in mind that nothing happens outside the present. Okay? Nothing happens outside the present. So even a thought about the future is based in the past. Regardless of what those ego voices are trying to get you to think and believe about the future, all of those projections are based in the past. All thinking is from the past and of the past. When we talk about how life guides us, how the moment unfolds, how ego comes in a beat or so later to say no to what life is unfolding, that's what we're talking about. Ego, conditioned mind, is constantly referring to the past, trying to get us to focus on the past, trying to get attention out of the present, away from life, away from this here now, away from life's guidance and direction. If ego is successful in that, it can get us into a story. It can get us to believe what it, in quotes, knows from the past. What it knows from the past that is real and true, and that it's essential information for the future. The way it does that is, number one, it makes us believe there's such a thing as the past, which there isn't. And two, it makes us believe the memories, the thoughts we have about this imaginary past are true and real. That really happened. That's the way that was. Yes, yeah, that's really true. Again, something for you to look into at your leisure, should you choose to, is the amount of research that can prove for us that actually, no, a huge percentage of what we remember as fact never happened. And certainly, it didn't happen the way we remember it. There might have been an event, but the event was so skewed by our looking through conditioned mind, through the assessments and interpretations of the event, that whatever it was that occurred bears almost no resemblance to the memory that is stored in conditioned mind. Which brings us to today. So if your eyes are closed, keep them closed, please. If they're not closed, close them, please. Just bring all of your attention to your breathing. Just staying with the breath as it moves into your body. Feel it fill your body. And stay with it as it leaves your body. And let that exhalation allow you just to settle back a little more comfortably against whatever is supporting you. With all of your attention on the breath, let yourself really be here for what we're doing right now. And now, without moving attention up into conditioned mind to figure anything out, but just allow what appears in conscious awareness to appear for you. Let drop in the first time you got information that you had done something wrong. You made a mistake. Disappointed. Or disapproved of. You did something bad. Maybe it was embarrassing. Don't spend a lot of time making sure it's the very first time. That's not the point. Just let an awareness drop in. It's the first one that you're recalling right now. when that comes to you, get a sense of how old you were, what the circumstances were, and how you felt. And now, begin to slowly move forward through your life from that situation to the next one that you can recall. What's the next time? That happened to you. What was that one like? What was going on? And leaving that one, move to another one. You're a little older. Don't get bogged down in the details. All you need is a flash of memory to enable you to recall that one. Perhaps it's helpful to think in terms of when you were in grade school, when you were in middle school, high school, college. Just keep moving forward through your life. Letting one after the other of these appear in conscious awareness. And let yourself recall a recent one. A recent time when you got information that you'd done something wrong, made a mistake, got embarrassed. And now, if you would, let that go, let that be, and bring your attention once again back to the breath. Take a couple of nice, long, conscious breaths. Doing your best to get your attention onto the breath so that you can be with the breath. Be with yourself. And when you're ready, if you would open your eyes and make some notes about what you saw in that process. Not the specifics, okay? Not what happened in a particular event, but what you saw about that process of feeling wrong or bad. Make some notes about that. Be sure your phone is on mute. Okay, how about if you finish up with what you're writing right now? And as we've been encouraging on these workshops, if you're someone who gets to process your insights with some regularity, if you're kind of a regular with our practice, in any of our practice formats, then if you kind of hold back and let those folks who are new or shy or without access to regular facilitation lead the way, that would be great. So who would like to get us started?
Sherry, I'm going to clear the queue because we've had people in the queue from the morning, and so if you do want, I'm going to clear the queue right now. And if you want to speak with this about this particular exercise, please press star 6 to put yourself in the queue.
All right, thank you.
All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello? Hello?
We'll try someone else, Sherry. Hang on.
Okay.
All right. We have at least one person unmuted, but can you?
I'm not sure if. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Oh, who's
wow.
It? That's exciting. This is Kelly.
Just tell us your first name, please.
Oh, this is Kelly.
Kelly.
Hey, Kelly. So, hi. So, what I saw. Should I just dive into what I saw?
Yes, please.
Okay. So first of all, the instruction to not get bogged in the content was important because I was going to go right into that. And so instead, I just looked at bodily sensations. And interestingly, I just want to note that they're kind of happening right now. So,
yes.
You know,
that would make
kind of
sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah, an interesting opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of contraction, an experience of jumping out, like almost like awareness trying to get out of myself and into the mind of my caregiver at the time to try to figure out what I was supposed to do in order to be safe again,
uh-huh.
or in order to be a good person again, because the thoughts were, you know, very classically like, I'm the wrong person, I'm a bad person, I've,
mm-hmm.
You know, I've made some grave error that separates me from humanity in a sense, like
decent humanity, right?
Yeah.
And Kelly, it sounds as if you didn't have a lot of clarity about what your sin was, what that transgression was, what was so bad or wrong about it.
Well, I think I did know, but. I'm not to give any details, right, content-wise?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think it was pretty clear to me what it was, but when I was doing it, it hadn't occurred to me at all that it was wrong. And so...
Yes.
So then there was this trying to understand, or not even,
yeah.
Like, I didn't have any confusion. Like, it was very clear then that I was wrong and bad, but then trying to understand, like...
Yeah.
Just how to get back to
what do I do?
Yeah,
how do
yeah,
I,
yeah, yeah.
How do I save myself? Yeah,
okay. Yeah, yeah.
All right, that's very good. Thank you for that. Very clear.
Mm-hmm.
Great start for
Thank
it.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Kelly. Sherry, I'm going to ask people to mute themselves when they finish, and then bring the next person live. So, Kelly, if you would do that. Our next caller here, you're live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Ah, technology.
Yeah, well, here we go.
All right.
Hello, can you hear me?
Perfectly. Who's this?
Great. This is Erin.
Erin. Hi, Erin. What did you see?
Well, I saw like the pattern through every story that I found. I was surprised. I was always surprised and like hurt. And I saw that I was unaware of what I was doing was a problem. And at the same time, horrified that I lacked the knowledge. And that, like, I was just being me, and I was very taken off guard how just being me was wrong.
Uh-huh. So wrong.
And,
right?
Yeah.
Because and then, because what we're looking at is real trauma, right?
Mm.
Shocked, surprised,
mm-hmm.
just caught off guard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then my reaction, I was thinking about, like, then what was my reaction after having that feeling? And that was always, like, to, like, hide, go away, run away, driven away.
Yeah. Scramble to, as Kelly was saying, scramble to safety, right? How do I find safety?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Good. All right. Thank you, Erin.
Thank you.
Sherry, here's our next caller.
All right.
Hello, it is Brad in Maryland.
Hello, Brad.
Hello.
What are you seeing?
Well, one of the things I notice with it is there is a kind of, in looking at that process, there is an abandonment of kind of like the little child, kind of the real person that's there. And there is a almost an inclination, I can remember this even around my mom when she corrected me, that there would almost want to be the incitement from myself to physically slap myself in the face to beat me like I had been. I know that sounds extreme, but it's like she'd always, not to pinpoint one person, but you know, it's like I'd always be corrected. And so it was always like just a denial over what I didn't know, any compassion for myself, and just kind of like a total abandonment of, I don't know, you know, what was there, just trying to figure out life. And I notice that same process now, whenever karma comes up, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. It's people projecting onto people that they know things they don't know. Right, that's what you're describing.
Correct.
Yeah. You did not know, and you did not know you did not know. So there's that feeling of innocence that we have, right? Because you're just going along, being a little human being, and suddenly you get information. And there's, you know, no, Brad, that's not the way we do that. That's one correction. But the ones that stick with us are the ones that have that, as people have said before, that surprise, that shock, that suddenly I am not safe. I don't know what's going on here. I can't be sure that I'm safe.
And no one ever told you what the rules of the game were to begin with, you know?
Nope. You should.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Brad.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brad. Sherry, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Hi. Who's this?
This is Kara.
Kara?
Yeah.
Hi, Kara. What are you seeing?
So what I saw was, you know, all those instances, what would come up was a sense of shame and disgust and, like, nausea. And it was basically like, I don't even want to remember those. I don't want to think about it. Like a contraction, like the first caller said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't want to have that experience, and boy, is it right there. Right?
Yeah.
I didn't have to use too many words for you to go right to that place. Right? So it's not, it'd be wonderful if all these things were back there in the past. Right, but they're not. They're right here with us every day of our lives. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's good. Contracted, sick at my stomach. I don't want to ever have that experience again.
Yeah. Not at all. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do anything to avoid it. All right. Thank you, Kara.
Thank you, Kara. And here's our next caller, Sherry.
Okay.
Next call.
Hello?
Yep. Who's it?
This is Mark in Bellingham.
Mark. What are you seeing, Mark?
Well, I saw something I had never seen before. And that is, where I went to when the correction came about was to anger, and anger was just not allowed in the house. Mm-hmm. And so then it got stuffed and just like 3 days ago, a situation came up again that again went straight to anger, except this time it wasn't stuffed.
Uh-huh. Found its way out.
Found its way out, exactly. But I never would have connected the two. Going back to early childhood, now the fact that it happened again recently does make sense. But to remember that all the times I was corrected when I was young, I would go to a place of anger, and I can't even tell you what the anger was about, other than the fact that somebody was trying to make me do something I didn't want to do.
Yes, and making you wrong, it sounds like, for not wanting to do it.
Oh, absolutely. And there was a consequence for not wanting to do it.
Yes. Yes, always. Yes. Well, here's the good news. Mark, hang just one thing. Folks, if you're not Mark, would you please mute yourself? Because we're getting a lot of background noise. I know it sounds like you're not making any noise, but you are. Okay, so the good news, Mark, is that as you continue to pay attention to this, which I trust that you will, you'll see more and more and more about the circumstances. Right, because it's all right there for us to see. It's going to increasingly come up into clarity rather than into the hidden place that the ego likes to keep these things.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Ashwini? Ashwini?
Yes.
Ashwini, is there anything we can do about that background noise, or have people just wandered off from their chair and now they're not even hearing the request for mute your phone? Okay. Do we have somebody else? Oh, dear. If I've lost Ashwini.
Sherry, no, I'm right here. I guess you can't hear me, but I'm just unmuting the next caller.
Okay. I'll keep making my little pleas for people to mute themselves.
Here we go. Next caller, you're now
Thank you.
On the air.
Oh.
Hello.
Hello, who's this?
This is Mary in Mount Vernon.
Mary, what do you see in Mary?
Well, I was raised Catholic and went to Catholic school from the age of six
okay.
to five. And
Mary,
yes?
just the process, okay?
Yes.
Just the
yes.
yeah.
Okay.
What you got? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It brought back the whole thing of looking at things I had done wrong and how I felt
uh-huh.
about that, because we always
Good.
Had to think about that. Anyway, and so I definitely felt a heaviness in my chest thinking about it, and definite big shame and embarrassment.
Mm-hmm.
I
uh-huh.
just kind of recall, I didn't want to, and secretive, I didn't want to tell anyone about it, about things that I had done wrong.
Uh-huh.
And I felt like I couldn't talk to anyone about it either. I mean, I was,
uh-huh.
if I thought it's about the
too
specifics.
Shameful.
Yes. And
it's
and
yeah.
the thought of maybe changing what it was that the reason why I was doing this wasn't, I didn't have that capability to talk to
right.
anyone about it.
Right.
So secretive.
Yeah. Yeah. And Mary, have you recognized that moving forward through your life? Are you still aware of some of those reactions that?
Oh yes.
Shame
as
an issue and embarrassment or secretive, can't let anybody know, that sort of thing.
Yes, just recently, I mean, just yesterday, I was saying to someone, I am so embarrassed about something that I figured out and what I was doing wrong. I mean, it was a mistake, but I just was going, I am so embarrassed about it. So, yes,
mm-hmm.
That was
yes.
kind of
interesting.
All right,
so you've done the whole thing. yeah, you got the intel on, no, actually, it wasn't a mistake. And you get to see how that belief system is held in place and how it's informing our life experience this very day. Yeah, or in
yes.
that case, yesterday. So, all right,
yes.
good. Thank you, Mary. That
yeah.
is very helpful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mary. Here we are. Here's our next caller, Sherry.
All right.
Hi, this is Melissa.
Hey, Melissa.
Hey.
What are you seeing?
Well, I totally have the experience everyone else is talking about of as a child being really surprised when the information came in, like not seeing it coming.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also watching this, and I noticed that as I got older and older, there's more of a sense of I should know or I should have known. And and I'm getting to watch it right now, real time, because I'm using a new phone app, and I don't know how to mute, and I've looked everywhere, and I can't out, and it's like there's this divide between the intention of the person to do the right thing, like the person wants to do whatever the right thing is, and yet,
yes.
you know, I'm not going to be able to figure it out, and I'm a bad person for not being able to figure it out.
That's right. That's it. That's it. That's it right there. Yeah. And so that's what you've described so beautifully is how we get bamboozled, right? How we get fooled because we don't, you know, back then, I'm going to project people were not trying to keep information from us, right? It's just that we were little kids and we didn't know. And everybody thought we should know because they knew. And so if they know, and you have adults in your life right now who subscribe to that theory, anything that I know, everybody should know. What I don't know, I'm pretty sure nobody knows, right? And so we can see that process, and then we can get a sense that now it's an internal process, right, that you're actually being kept. Wow, whatever that is painful. You're actually being kept from having the information that you would need so that you will continue to wind up in the same place.
Yeah.
All right.
It's very, getting it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good to see. And it's true for all of us. You know, yes, it's true for you, and it's true for all of us. That's how it works. That's how egocentric, karmic conditioning, self-hate keeps a person in suffering. That's how it happens. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Melissa. Here's our next caller, Sherry. Next caller, you're not live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Beth.
This is who?
Hello?
Beth?
Yes.
Beth. Hey, Beth. What are you seeing?
I'm a long-term.
Hang on a second, Beth. Ashwini, is it possible to mute everyone, or do you think that's just in the system?
I have everyone muted, Sherry, as far as I can tell. So I don't know anything else I can do other than request people.
All right.
Oh, I just got a text from someone saying that the muting ability on the app just disappeared, so she hung up and called back on the phone.
Okay. Well, then if the mute app, if the mute isn't working on the app, this is going to be a painful process. So I don't know what people can do, but if you can get off the app and call in on the phone, please do that, because this is rugged. And so, Beth, will you speak up just as much as you can?
I will, and I'll speak slowly as I can.
Well, no, whoever that was just left us. go ahead.
Okay.
You can go at full
That
tilt.
Was painful.
Yes.
That was very painful. And my first reaction was, I don't like this. But I couldn't prevent the memories coming up.
That's right.
And what I realized, I feel this way all the time.
There you go. You have just captured perfectly the whole point of this workshop. Yes.
Yes. And after that, this intense vulnerability kind of like seeing that I have been stuck in the person who needs to be punished.
Yes. Yes.
For 54 years.
Yep. There you go. Well, you're not alone. I can promise you that. 54 years, if it took that long to get to this point and see this and stick with us, because I'm hoping before this is over, you have an alternative to that. If you don't, you'll call me and let me know. And so if it took 54 years and you get it today, then good. Those 54 years, well spent. Worth every
Nothing
second.
To hang on to. You get it, you let it go.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. All right. Thank you, Beth.
Down the road.
Thanks, Beth. Sherry, I think we could take at least a couple more. So here we go. Next caller, you are now
All
live
right.
on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Next caller.
Hi, this is Sridevi.
Hey, Sridevi.
Hi. So what I noticed that I thought was really interesting was as I was going through the memories, it started out external, but almost all of the recent memories was all an internal voice telling me what I was doing was wrong.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was so surprising to have that insight drop in, because it feels as though it's external people telling it to me, but it's really not.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
In fact, you have articulated a very subtle aspect of that, because that system that people have talked about that has internalized this, then as we get older, projects that out onto other people. And because we so believe it's true, we believe that what's being projected by that ego system is real. So we don't even have to ask people. Are you really thinking that? Is that what you believe about me? Is that what we wouldn't do that? Well, that's back to Mary. That would just be too shameful to do it, to say anything like that. So we just assume that the information that we're getting inside our head is true and accurate.
Yeah.
And in fact, Sri Devi, it's worse than that. Right? It's worse than that because when we're identified with that system, we believe it so completely that all of our lives, there have been people in our lives trying to tell us something different.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't count because what we believe is the truth of what we're hearing inside our head.
Yeah, and I think that moment, that insight of like, I actually don't know the last time someone actually came up to me and said to me, what you're doing is wrong or bad or you should be ashamed of just that, oh my gosh. Actually, what I continue to get from other people, especially during this time, is nothing but love. But I'm not even able to take that in because I'm the projection and inside my head so much, it's not even, I'm not available for it or I'm denying it it's being rejected.
That's right. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Sri Devi.
Thank you, Sri Devi. Sherry, it looks like we would wrap this exercise up and move on to the next one.
All right. Well, very good. Thank you to those of you who participated with that and all the rest of you who are going along with us. And if you would, if you're not in your chair, which I hope you are, or on your cushion or wherever you are, if you would make your way there and assume that posture of eyes closed and attention on the breath. Just breathing, staying with the breath. When attention wanders, just gently bring it back. Find the breath wherever it happens to be at the moment. Stay with it. Let it soothe and relax your body. Now, once again, staying with the breath and just allowing the insights to come to you. Rather than turning this over to conditioned mind, to that same system to continue to inform you of its perspective, just staying with you in the present. And you consider that list from your past, those things that you just, those events that you just went through. Which of those do you see as regular weapons that egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate uses against you? Which of those stories do you hear on a somewhat regular basis? Which of those feelings occur to you? Happen to you on a regular basis? When you're just going around in your day, suddenly you recall or you feel like? So those stories are content. So you did such and such, and you should have done that and such, and that's what makes you blah, 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 blah. Okay? So that's what those stories are meant to provide for us. Right? They're the excuse. They're the reason. Okay? But what we want to look at is the process. The beliefs and assumptions about who and how you are held in place and believed today, as we've been seeing. They're held in place and believed today because of what you did or did not do back then. So even the things that have happened recently have their basis in what happened back then. So we want to look now at how you've been made to feel about yourself based on those events. Are you untrustworthy? Are you dangerous? Are you in danger? Do you need to be watched? Monitored so that you won't repeat your previous mistakes? Do you need to be regularly reminded of what you're capable of if you're left to yourself? Does all this leave you feeling cautious? Timid? Inadequate? Defensive? Anxious? How is your life currently as the result of what was done to you? Again, just stay with this and let the insights come to you. Don't need to think about it. Have a sense of that. If you would take, again, 2 or 3 nice long deep conscious breaths, really bring yourself back here. And if you would make some notes about what you've seen, Okay, if you would just finish up whatever you're working on right there. And again, with that encouragement, if you aren't used to being with us and you'd like to have an opportunity to speak up, then press star 6 and get in the queue. And here we go. Who would tell us what you saw?
Here's our first caller, Sherry. You're not allowed on the air.
All right. Thank you.
Hi, Sherry. This is Janet from New Hampshire.
Hello, Janet.
Hi.
What you seeing?
Well, when you just said reminded of what you're capable of, mine is really what occurs to me is that I'm being reminded of what I'm not capable of, in case I had forgotten. That
right.
Conditioning.
You could forget that you're inadequate.
Yeah. That I need to be reminded all the time, oh, no, you're not capable. No, you're not okay. No, you know, mm-hmm. it's that. It's that constant, like, that's what's occurring every time it happens.
Because you made those mistakes, and you must never, ever forget that you're liable to do that again.
Yeah, and that inherently I'm just not okay is
yes.
the bottom line.
Well,
I have to be
right.
reminded of that.
Yes. And, I'm laughing because, and I hope you are too, because it's so obviously absurd.
I was really surprised when I saw that. It was like, wow.
Yeah.
I have to constantly be reminded, lest I forget. Lest I go out there and I'm being great. I'm feeling great. Hey, listen, don't forget.
Right. Well, Janet, I mean, you're saying it. You would forget. Because as Sridevi just said, you know, it's been a long time since another human being actually said, you're wrong. You're the wrong person. You're inadequate. You're deeply flawed. Deep down inside, you are flawed. That has not been said outside our heads in a really long time, if ever.
Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, you would forget. You would absolutely forget it. It wouldn't even take you a day, probably, to forget.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really fun to see.
Good. We're here to have fun, as you know.
Yes. Thank
All right.
You.
Thank you, Janet.
Bye.
Thanks.
Go
Thanks,
happy.
Here's our next caller, Sherry. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Lisa.
Hello, Lisa. What
Hi.
Are you seeing?
Well, what I was seeing was, it was interesting because when you were saying, is it that you're not safe? Like, for some reason, that didn't quite fit. But I think it does because what I could see was that there's this conversation about I'm going to control the outcome of whatever of life, really, like of everything. And the way that I'm going to control that outcome is by being the right person all the time. And a lot of energy gets put into avoiding not being the right person. Am I saying that right? And then
you got plenty of negatives.
Yes. Yes. And it does draw from experiences that were either external or, you know, be honestly, 95% of it is internal. And and there's a big fear of, like, the biggest one is like, oh, I was misunderstood. Like, I was right, and then someone thought I was wrong, even when I was right. You know, that kind of thing. So that's what's happening. And then at the end of it, it's funny. I was watching it. I'm like, well, what is it? Like, what? Like Sherry was like, because you were saying like safe, and I was like, what is the thing that I'm trying to? What is it? And it got very hazy. It was very interesting. It's like there is really no answer for what it is that I'm avoiding. You know, it's just,
right.
I know that I have to avoid it, whatever that is. I have
to
avoid
exactly
it.
That's exactly right.
You know?
That's exactly right, and it has to stay that vague. Right? Because again, are you three? Is somebody going to spank you if you don't whatever it is? No. And if somebody says, well, if somebody said, Lisa, that was really stupid, would you die? No, would not. You might be upset, especially if you listen to voices inside your head, but would you survive it? Absolutely. And so the point you're making is essential. All of this stuff that is orchestrating our orientation to life is because we're approaching life as if we're still 3 or 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't make any sense. And the only way it can continue to happen is if we don't bring conscious awareness to it, which is why there's such a big argument for awareness practice, because it really is the only way through it, right? We have to bring all of this into conscious awareness in order to get to the other side of it. And the thing that we are not supposed to do is bring it into conscious awareness. This is what Kara said. Oh, God, I don't want to see this. I don't want to feel this. I don't want to think about this. That's how it keeps control of people. Then, of course, with the year-long retreat, you've added the element of control, right? So now you are charged with controlling every single moment of life to make sure it goes the right way. Now, talk about a child's perspective, right? Because as adults, we kind of have a sense that that might not be a possibility for us, right? But that's what you're charged with, and, of course, that's how then ego controls you, because that's what you have to do all the time.
I'm struck by the, yes, it is big. It is big. And I'm struck by the lack of fun then. Do you know what I mean? Like, then there's a lack of fun, because then if I'm always doing something to do it right, I can't have any of those awesome creative moments where it's messy and weird, you know?
Well, it wouldn't be messy and weird, actually, any more than it was when you were a child. But that's what
right.
And that's when people talk about the surprise, the shock, that you're going along and suddenly, okay, you were just going along. Somebody said, being me, right? And then we are pulled into this alien, in quotes, reality. We have no idea where we are or what's going on or what the rules are or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
It's nervous making to just be present. Now, again, do we have to be worried about other people? Not actually. What we have to be worried about is what's going to happen in our head if we are going along not looking to it to tell us how to be safe, how to be in control, how to be all right, how to survive. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa. Here's our next caller, Sherry.
All right.
This is Brian.
Who is this?
Brian?
Who is this? Brian.
Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Okay, you can't hear me. Good.
Yep.
Yeah, so the thing I was sick was just I have to be on guard to avoid making mistakes. And that, you know, speaking freely, I have to mull it over and see how it's going to sound first and how I imagine the other people think it'll sound. And which basically comes back to predicting what's going to happen. Basically, that's my job now since then.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so I'm hoping you took to heart that nobody knows what's going to happen next.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Brian, our situation right now, it should be really all the proof anybody would need that nobody knows what's going to happen next, especially that voice inside the head, right? We are in a complete economic collapse in the midst of a global pandemic. Did anyone see this coming? No. No. And yet, here we are. And that system, on an individual basis, will go right on running the same program as if it hadn't just been revealed to be the utter fiction, the utter fraud that it is.
Yeah, it seems to be doing pretty well from what I can tell.
It certainly will as long as we let it.
Yeah. So the other thing that was really interesting that I don't think I had quite seen before is, like, I get angry when other people don't play their part. If they don't stick to the script that I've been fed, then I can't predict what they're going to say and do, and I can't make them happy, so I'm not safe.
You're not safe, Brian. We can just stop the sentence right there, right? Because when we are in the hands, in the imaginary little hands, of a system like that, that is the only place we are truly unsafe. We're perfectly safe in life. We're absolutely safe in the present. Now, are we going to die? Yeah, at some point. Good job. Everybody is, right? But we're perfectly safe in the present. Where we're not safe is in that horror story in the head. That's the one we have to get. That's what we have to see.
Yeah, it's just seeing that all the effort I've spent trying to avoid getting in trouble hasn't really done a great job of keeping me out of trouble or feeling bad either. So,
no, in fact, it's the only thing, it's the probably, very likely, the only trouble, the source of the only trouble you've had. And it's certainly been the source of the feeling bad that you felt.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian. Here's our next caller, Sherry.
All right.
Now you're live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Next caller? Okay, well, I guess they don't.
Next.
Let's try the next one. Here we go, next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Loren in Connecticut.
Hey, Loren. What are you seeing?
So what I started to see in the first exercise and then became even clearer in the second one is the idea that I must have some bad part of me that I've really got to always be watching out for and trying to control.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You are, if you are not, at least somewhere hidden inside you is the bad seed.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So we have to keep an eye, a close eye on you all the time.
Right, because some of those, you know, when we were doing the exercise of going through the things, and I had to feel bad after or feel like shame or embarrassed, well, it couldn't just be something that I wanted to do. It had to be like something bad that made me do it. And so
Wow. That is helpful to see, isn't it?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So it wasn't just that you were somebody who, like the rest of humanity, couldn't tell what was going to happen next and didn't have all of the rules of the game down. No. Inherently, you are bad. So there's a way in which it's really not your fault. It's not your fault because it's all your fault.
I think I lost you on the part there, but I think I also get
it. Yeah, it's not your fault, Loren, because you're evil. It's not like Loren is at fault. She's evil. So it's not there's what that does then is position it so that there's really nothing you can do. You can work as hard as you can. You can try. You can be the best person. You can try, you know, but it doesn't matter because deep down inside, there's that evil.
Yes, but it doesn't stop me from really still trying hard all the time. And I think this manifests when you ask, like, how does it show up in your life now around really suffering over what I want and decisions. Yeah, like knowing that there's this bad part doesn't somehow stop me from still trying to control it, even though you're right, there is also something underneath it that I know it's hopeless.
Yeah, you're doomed, but you must try. You know, Lorraine, there's a thing that I say often in practice, and I always wonder if anybody actually goes with me on it. But if you want to have control over someone for a lifetime, convince them that they must do something that in fact cannot be done. And once you convince them that they must do it, you've got them. They're your slave forever. And that's what ego has done. So it's got you in this bind of, even though you are inherently evil and it's all hopeless, still you have to devote your life to trying to be good and have the life that you want, right? I mean, if it weren't for the way the system is set up, you could just say, well, the heck with it. I'm just going to go out there and do everything I can get away with. Why not? I'm evil. Might as well enjoy it. Right? But that's not the system ego wants to keep you trapped in. Yeah, that's huge. I can't tell if you get the magnitude of that, but if not right this minute, you will very soon.
Yes, I think so. I think I'm right on the edge of it, and yes, I think yep. I'll see even more about it as the day goes on.
Yep, absolutely. All right, thank you, Lorraine.
Thank you. Thanks, Lorraine. And here's another caller, Sherry. Give me a second, and there we go.
Hello, this is Emily.
Hello, Emily.
I saw that what I took from these experiences wound up being a very tidy little bundle that keeps me separate and unhappy, which is at least good to see. Because
it's very good to see. Let's not go past that one too fast, okay? That it is essential. It's like the building is on fire, but I've finally seen where the exit is.
Mm.
It is the essential piece. So go ahead.
Well, just the two earliest experiences that came to mind, one was about age 5, one was about age 9. And that between the two of them, the lesson that came out of it was, I'm unsafe if people who I don't thoroughly know and trust see me being anything less than knowledgeable and competent. However, it's almost impossible for me to thoroughly know and trust anybody because, well, you
That's
don't
right.
understand people. And so at
That's
some
right.
point, you'll do something wrong and they'll leave.
Yep.
And so
yep.
wouldn't it be easier just to short-circuit that by staying alone?
Exactly. Exactly. Get rid of them ahead of time, and you don't have to go through the pain of having them leave. And I don't know if you can see this, but it is an exact parallel to what Lorraine was just describing.
Mm.
The exact parallel. It has you set up so that no matter what you do, all roads lead to, no, that won't work. Nope, that won't work. So you can be absolutely perfect, competent, whatever it is, But that's not going to be enough. So go ahead, do that. You've got to devote yourself to that. But you're still going to pay the price that you would pay if you weren't.
At some point, the underlying inherent difference and deficiency will become clear.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, instead of just using your talents to embezzle funds from large institutions, you have to try to be a good person. Even though it's not going to get you anything except alone, isolated, and probably unhappy. But you have to do it anyway, because that's just what you have to do.
Wow. At least supervillains have more fun and have cool lairs.
Oh, exactly. Great outfits. Yes. Yeah, not us. Not us little wannabe supervillains. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and, of course, the only wannabe supervillain in us is egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. And as Brian noted, it actually does a pretty good job. It's a supervillain that is capable of ruining one life.
It feels so good to have a light being shined on this. Thank you.
Oh, it does. I hope you find it addictive. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Emily.
Thanks, Emily. Sherry, we have time for one more, I think.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, it's Anna.
Hello. Hello, Anna. Hi. What are you seeing?
I'm seeing the process I'm in is blaming another person. And kind of feeling better than.
Whoa, hang on a second, Anna. I lost you there. We got a lot of background noise. Yeah. So the process that you're seeing is.
Thanks. Yeah. I just saw all these situations in my childhood. Kind of it involved my mom, and now I'm seeing that I'm still in the process of blaming her, blaming her, and feeling better than, and feeling superior in a way, and more powerful now because I'm powerful because of all the distance, and I can just end the relationship if I choose to.
And we can see in that how abusive egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is, right? So it does to you. It does to your mother. Oh gosh, are you on the app, Anna, by any chance?
No, I called.
Okay, all right. Then if somebody would mute or get on the phone or something. Yikes. Okay. So it starts out doing it to your mother, right? Then it does it to you.
Yeah.
And so that's how self-hate works, right? It goes back and forth. So whether it's one person, your mother, or for a lot of people, it's a lot of people, right? So we're the good people and we're fine and they are awful and we hate them. And then that same system turns around to me and hates me in part because I'm a hateful person hating them. And it just plays back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And as you say, so it can go from feeling superior to feeling put down and devastated. You feel put down and devastated. Then you can always turn attention to your mother. What a miserable human being she is. So you feel good about your
and
really good to see, isn't it?
Disconnect me from myself and my heart.
Absolutely.
When I talk with her on the phone, I always start feeling so angry. I think next time I'll talk to her on the phone, I'll just say I'm feeling, I want to say something. I'm feeling some physical sensations, and I'll just close my eyes for a minute to see what I need to get some other, something else.
Well, and Anna, because you practice with us and you're familiar with all of these things that I'm talking about. I'm going to ask you to do this next exercise that's coming up, and then you will do a recording that is going to that you're going to be able to listen to while you talk to your mom.
Ah, great. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Good. We got a plan. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Anna. Sherry, before we move on, I'm going to clear the queue since there are people from both the exercises still on so that people can get an opportunity to put themselves in the queue after the next one. So here we go.
All right. Very good. Thank you. You'll tell me when we're ready?
We're ready.
All right. Very good. Okay. So back to your centering spot, whether that's on a cushion or a chair or wherever you are. So that you can let the body relax and sink into whatever is supporting you and take those couple of nice, boy, Ashwini, we've still got that background in the, thank you, little technology whiz. So, let the attention come to the breath. Find the breath. And let the breath just soothe you and relax you. Take any tension out of your body. Keeping attention with the breath. And just let go of everything that has come before. Any residue in your body, in your emotions, in your mind. Just staying with the breath. All of those just slide away. So you can just be right here. So, one thing that I hope is clear at this juncture is that over the course of your life, you have learned all there is to learn from those situations. We need a lot of quote marks there, okay? Because so much of the learning that you have done from those situations is not learning that you ever needed and currently that you wanted to have done. So whatever those are, whatever happened, it's all been reviewed and rehashed, relived. Yeah, you've had plenty of time to cringe and blush and be miserable over, in quotes, what happened. You have, as those folks who so believe that punishment makes people good, you have learned your lesson. You've been through a lot. You've realized a lot. You've learned a lot. And in fact, because you're here doing this today, a big part of what you have learned through all of those experiences is that you want to bring conscious, compassionate awareness to your life. That's what all those situations have resulted in. In spite of everything that happened, you never stopped being a good person, wanting to be good, wanting good. Wanting to be the best person that you could be. Trying, trying, trying. Always coming from a desire to be the best person that you could be, in spite of a powerful force attempting to get you to give all of your attention to it, as it told you over and over what was wrong with you. What is wrong with you? To this day, attempting to get you to believe its assessment of you. So I'm asking you now to let yourself take a moment to appreciate the person who has walked this path. The person who has faced and survived so much. Who has gone up against enormous odds and continued to the best of your ability, goodness and kindness. This is a person to be admired, to be respected, to be honored. So would you please take another long, full, conscious breath, and as you exhale, say a silent, heartfelt thank you. For all you've encountered and moved through, never losing your desire to be one with goodness. I'm going to ask you now to look to see if you are ready, if there's the willingness to choose that courageous human being over a hateful, egocentric, judgmental voice in the head. This is the time, the opportunity, to, with conscious awareness, choose goodness over hatefulness. And if that's the case, then let yourself know how you choose to be now and in each now. And confirm for yourself that you're ready and willing to put the past behind you. Not to live any longer in a phony idea of what happened then, that you're ready to choose this here now, life, a good and brave human being who is adequate, equal to whatever information, whatever learning is going to assist that human being to awaken and end suffering. when you feel ready, I'm going to ask you once again to bring all the attention and awareness back to the breath. There are a couple of components here. So I'm going to ask you to make some notes, yes, and then to make your first recording in this new relationship with life in the present. Your first recording of how you're choosing to be with the human being going forward, letting go of the past, no longer referring to imaginary scenarios from back then, really here, choosing life, this here now. Make that recording, and after you make it, would you please listen to it? And we're going to return to the workshop at, Ashwini, help me out here.
Sherry, if people could be back here by 11:45, then we could possibly
some time. So, all right, 15 minutes before the hour. Yes. If you're ready at a quarter to the hour, then come on back. Know that this is your first recording. Make lots of these. And whether you leave the call now or simply mute your phone as you make notes and make the recording and listen to it, whatever works for you, and we'll see you back here at a quarter till. Thank you. All right, here we are.
Shall I bring on the first caller, Sherry?
Yeah. And give me a couple of minutes at the end because there are a couple of points I'd like to make.
All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, my name's Carolyn. Can you hear me?
Yes, Carolyn. Hi there. What are you seeing?
Well, yes, there was a strong willingness to commit to letting go of the past and letting go of this assumption that I've been dragging with me through for my life of guilt and blame, that I am just kind of a priori to blame, no matter what it is.
Right. Yeah.
And
I mean, what was the world doing before you came along, right?
That's very true.
Yeah.
So as I did my recording, I said, yes, I do commit to doing this, and the way that I would see myself doing it is when I start to feel this old familiar assumption of guilt, to see that, then drop it, realize this is a story, this is not the truth, start to come in to feel my breath as a way of bringing myself to center in this moment, and maybe even say to myself, I'm innocent.
Well,
everyone
here
is innocent.
Here is my suggestion. So the first thing to say is, because it's going to happen in a conversation in your head, right?
Right.
Whether it's thought patterns, but we call those conversations. So the first thing is, we're not having that conversation. That's the first one. That's the put the kibosh on it, right? And the second thing, of course, you know, recording and listening is huge in our practice for this very reason, because what it does is actually replace that negativity. It replaces that conversation. It's very, very difficult for us to get out of a conversation in our head if we don't have somewhere else to go. And so my encouragement is for you to make a recording that's along these lines. The voice in my head wants me to believe that I should feel guilty, that I should feel bad. But I have nothing to feel guilty about. The guilt is just a stick that ego uses to beat us up. What is true is, and then you say what is true. What is true is that I am doing the very best I can to be the very best person I can all the time. And as I learn more and see more and can do better, I will do better. And those are the recordings that you make. And so when that voice wants to start talking to you about that, you just say, we're not having that conversation. Never have your recordings far from you. Just pop in that AirPod or earbud or whatever you use and listen to a recording of what is true for you, what is current and what is true. Okay?
Got it. Yeah, makes
all right.
sense. Thank you.
Good woman. All right. Thank you, Carolyn.
Thank you, Carolyn. Here's our next caller, Sherry.
Hi, this is Rob from Minnesota.
Hello, Rob. What'd you see?
Well, it's just been a beautiful experience. And one thing I saw is how a lot of those early experiences revolved around kind of a sense that I was taking up resources that should be being used for others. And principally kind of attention and praise.
Yeah.
It's something that kind of echoes the national scene at the moment. And
mm-hmm.
what a relief to realize, you know, I belong, and the proof is, as you said once, that I'm here. Like, the fact that I exist.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
The proof. That's
yeah.
the proof.
Yes, and Rob, with that it really is your opportunity to give him that praise and attention that he legitimately needs and deserves.
Yes. So that's what the recording was. Just so sweet. It was like, I see you. You're wonderful. You're awesome. You know, like you get to be here. You deserve to be here. And then there's just this feeling of slipping out from under the whole self versus self, small self versus small
yeah.
self competition for attention.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, there's none of the, even in the past or in the present, that doesn't exist. It's just this here now. What's going on now? What's going on now? Now what's going on? Now what's going on? And
that's
such a relief. I just, this big grin comes to my face when I sink into that.
Yeah. And I'm going to lead you a little bit here because I know what you're going to say. Okay. From that place, because we're told, okay, great, you just walk around saying what a wonderful human being you are, and you're going to be the center of the universe for everybody. Actually, it makes you generous, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And and it's like there's not, you know, you were talking about, I just don't even start that conversation. When that, you know, who's getting attention, it's like, no, there's no who's. I'm not even going there.
That's
it's
right.
not It's not even about
That's
that.
That's exactly right.
It's,
That's exactly
it's,
right. And in that magical awareness practice way, that generosity brings you to wanting to compliment, to acknowledge, to praise, to notice what's good about other people. And as you say that, you get it.
Yes. Yes, right? Absolutely.
Because what we do is what we have.
Yep. Yeah, that's this period is just, you know, time after time in situation after situation, seeing and acknowledging and supporting people on Zoom. that's the actual, in reality, just, you know, contrary to what conditioning would say, that's the reality of my world these days.
Yes, and you're very supported in that.
Yes, I feel it. Yeah, it's not...
Yeah.
There's no shortage of resources. That's the great, great realization. Yeah. There's. In the present, there's plenty for everybody. Plenty.
There is so much for everybody. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Rob.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Rob. Sherry, do you want to take one more caller? We have about 8 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's good.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello, this is Helga.
Hello, Helga.
Hi, Sherry.
What you see? So, what jumped out for me with these exercises was that that message that I must have gotten that punishment is for my own good.
Oh yeah.
That
oh
was,
God. Oh my God. The prisons are full of people because of that. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and mm-hmm. it's like I don't even remember any particulars of my childhood, but I know that was the message that I was given over and over and over again. So what ego takes that and punishes me every day for my own good.
To keep you from being the bad person you would be if you were left to yourself. The assumption of bad, it's like that's there. That under all your efforts to be good, actually you're bad. And so now you have to be watched and kept from your instincts, which is just
yeah. And you know what? Horrible. What I think you know, for me, for this person, what the message was, what was bad, was being alive and being seen, being here. That was what
yeah.
the message was. So when I was 17, I became anorexic, so I would disappear.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
yeah.
just
yeah.
so, you know, it's just this logic of this little child.
Yes.
And it's been following me my whole life in some
yeah.
form or another, you know, that I need to be punished because it's for my own good. And
yeah. Oh, it's
being,
so bad, isn't
being
it?
being barely alive, that's all right. But God forbid
yeah.
I would be fully alive, you know. God
yeah.
forbid. All kinds of horrible things will happen. And what I realized, I mean, I realized that over the years that I've been with you is the only horrible thing is what would be horrible for ego because it would disappear. And I've had that experience,
yeah.
you know, being fully
and you're
alive
going to have it more and more.
yeah.
That's what we're going for, right? We
yeah.
want ego to become
yep.
anorexic and disappear.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's what Rob was
yeah.
saying. You know, so many of us grow up with over, you know, stressed, unconscious, barely surviving adults who see us as competition for scarce resources.
Mm-hmm.
And so we what do we know? we don't have any other information. So we just
mm-hmm.
take that in as true, and then, as you say, live that out for the rest of our lives
yeah.
until we get to the point of realizing, actually, that was never true. I don't want to live the rest of my life that way.
Yeah.
I'm going to get better
you know,
information.
And what you just said, I mean, that is so, you know, that is so true. It's like, you know, the way I feed ego is what with my attention. Every time it gives me this a message, you know, and I'll fall for it, that's how I feed it. And the only way to
yes.
start
oh,
the
yes.
damn thing is just taking all the attention away from it. And, you know, when I hear all these, you know, these messages, just turn around and walk the other way. I mean, that's just, yeah. It's really like,
yeah, that's
you know,
exactly
starving
right.
ego. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. One of our favorite movies talked about a diet of the mind. And that's what it is. It's
mm-hmm.
it's putting ego on a starvation diet. It only lives from our attention, which explains why it's so desperate to be at the front of our attention all the time. We withdraw our attention from it, and it withers and dies. It really, that is a true story. And that's where we're
yeah.
headed. Thank you, Helga.
Thank you
so
you,
much
Sherry.
For that. Yeah. So the point that I want to make as we depart here is that our approach to this, now I'm, you know, we stopped feeling bad in 2013. Did it work? Well, to a larger degree than it was working before, right? Because we remind one another often that we that's what we did. We're not doing that. We're not feeling bad. We're not giving attention to that. Okay, and it creeps along with us the feeling bad, and so. That's fine. We keep working on it. And that's what we're going to do with the past. Is it going to just get through this workshop and say, okay, well, the jig is up. I guess it's over for me. No, of course, that system is going to keep trying to do the same thing. But but we have a different, clearer relationship with what's going on than we had before. And of course, that's what awareness practice is bringing all of this hidden stuff out into the light so that we can see it for what it is and see that it's not us and it doesn't have anything to do with us. And so that's what we're going to be doing with this. We're going to be helping one another remember when we get stuck in these self-hating old child trauma places, that we don't need to do that. It was never true. It's certainly not true now. We're going to put it, continue to starve that conversation, starve that ego and self-hate. And part of what needs to happen with that is that we develop an eagerness to bring the hidden into the light. Because one of the ways that system is able to torture us is by getting us to believe that it's us, we're it, all of these things that happen are me, I need to feel bad, I need to hide it, I need to keep this because it's who I am and I can't let people know who I am. No, it's not who I am. It's egocentric, karmic conditioning, self-hate, and we want to reveal it every single chance we get. And the last thing that I would encourage you with is to get the recordings going. If you don't have a recording and listening practice, God knows we can help you with that. It is just absolutely the fast track to freedom from suffering. I kid often that if the Buddha had this technology, it would have come down through the last 2,500 years to us, because it is the best way ever to end that ego torture. So get those recordings going and listen to them all the time. Listen, you can't, as we're fond of pointing out, you can't be listening to negative, hateful nonsense in your head 23 hours and 50 minutes out of the day, listen to recordings for 10 minutes and hope it's going to make a difference. Okay, we're doing immersion practice here. So we want to immerse ourselves in what is true and what is real, which is our authentic, our Buddha nature. So thank you so much. Thank you for this. Thank you, Ashwini. I could not have done it without you. Thank you to everybody. I definitely couldn't have done it without you. And go happy. No more self-hate, at least today. And during as many minutes of every day as you can imagine, going forward. Take care. Bye-bye.
Deep Gusher, Sherry, and thank you for pointing us to the way to end suffering.
Oh,
every minute of your life.
My
Deep Gusher.
My Gusher to you and to all. Thank you.